Listen to what these hackers allegedly did to bank ATMs. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. As the day goes on, we'll know more about what could be one of the most colossal bank robberies of all time. The computer security company Kaspersky Lab says a ring of hackers has been stealing from about 100 banks in 30 countries, including Russia and in the U.S. for at least a year. The Kaspersky people have alerted authorities about their findings that are going to be presented at a computer security conference in Cancun, Mexico today. Between $300 million and maybe $1 billion may have been taken in dribs and drabs to avoid detection. On the line from the UK is Alan Woodward, a computer security expert at the University of Surrey. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
What is emerging here seems to be a picture of criminals who got into computer systems and then watched and learned while what? Trying not to draw attention to themselves.
Yes. I mean, unfortunately, it seems that what they did was it's a classic attack as things like a phishing attack. They managed to get something onto various workers' computers, and then they sat and watched and found the people that had appropriate access to the back-end systems, so to the core banking systems, and were very patient over a period of about 3 or 4 months and slowly worked their way back into the network to basically pull off a major, major heist.
A lot of concerning things here, obviously, but one of the most is that you think of financial services companies, banks, as among the most secure with their systems. This suggests there is work to be done.
It does look like there's been a lack of what's called network segregation, because it should be very, very difficult to work from sort of the front end all the way through to the back end.
And if that's the case, what you're saying is that perhaps, for instance, the company email system might not be segregated from the systems that are counting the money.
Exactly. I mean, if you can get your email on your laptop, and unfortunately you can then access the same back-end system from that same machine, then coming in via email is away from coming in from outside inside. You then sit and watch, basically, and wait until somebody puts in their username and password. And then you take, for example, you take control of that laptop and you do the same for yourself. It looks like, indeed, the way Kaspersky appeared to have been called in, somebody noticed on a CCTV camera that there were people at ATMs who had been given money. The ATM was spewing out cash when they hadn't done anything. So they did it in relatively small amounts, so it wouldn't activate any fraud systems. But without having to put cards in or numbers in or anything like that, it looks like that they were able to get the ATMs to give out cash.
There's an image, a thief walking past a ATM rigged to spew cash. Alan Woodward is at the Department of Computing at the University of Surrey in the UK. Professor, thank you for this.
Pleasure.
A nonprofit clearinghouse called the Financial Services Information Sharing and Analysis Center said it alerted its clients about this issue last month. The U.S. has lagged behind countries like Germany and Switzerland in the race to train young workers in advanced technologies. Now the Department of Labor has announced they'll award more than $100 million in grants to create apprenticeship programs across America. North Carolina Public Radio's Leonida Inge reports.
Mason Hurlbutt is a high school senior and spends 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, at Bueller Aeroglide in Cary, North Carolina. Bueller makes large conveyor dryers for companies like Kellogg's.
When I came to this company, I just fell in love. I mean, I've always worked with my hands, and it's got everything that, you know, I want to do: welding, fabrication, assembly.
Bueller has been singled out by the federal government as an apprenticeship leader. The company says it wants to expand its program from the shop floor to design and engineering. U.S. Secretary of Labor Thomas Perez recently visited young Bueller trainees and walked the shop floor.
This is an economic imperative. This is how we're going to grow our economy. I refer to apprenticeship as the other college, except without the debt.
And Perez says apprenticeships come in all shapes and sizes, not only in skilled trades, but in IT, cybersecurity, and healthcare. I'm Leonida Inge for Marketplace.
The online movie ticket company Fandango has been making a lot of hay over the opening of 50 Shades of Grey, but even so, most movie tickets are sold the old-fashioned way, through the little hole in the plexiglass in front of the theater. There is a new push to change that, as Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
Unlike buying a book from Amazon, if you buy a movie ticket from your phone, you pay extra. Rebecca Lieb is an analyst with Altimeter Group.
What do consumers get for paying a premium for online movie tickets?
With, say, a big concert, you have to buy ahead of time to make sure you get a seat.
people will walk up to a box office and say, what do you want to see? You want to see this one or you want to see that one?
She says there's another barrier to selling more tickets online. Lots of moviegoers are teenagers who, as a rule, don't love planning and don't have credit cards. But Michael Pachter, an analyst with Forrester Research, thinks it will eventually be worth the industry's while to do what it takes to move all sales online. The customer data is too valuable to pass up.
Do you think if we called up Disney, they could tell me whether you had seen Iron Man 1, 2, or 3 in the theater? They have no idea.
But they could if I'd bought my tickets online.
And that would give them an opportunity to sell you Iron Man on DVD or Iron Man merchandise for Halloween or whatever.
Something else to look forward to. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
In other news from that business we call show, for those who liked Colin Firth's snappy clothes in the new movie Kingsman, arrangements have been made. The movie producers contracted with an online outfit called Mr. Porter, so facsimiles of the snappy attire on screen could be purchased by the likes of us. I looked and everything seemed like an absolute fortune, unless you're accustomed to blue velvet smoking jackets for $2,000. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.